Remembers Lurch. Lynn, do you remember Lurch?
I do remember Lurch.
Okay, I thought you were going to come in here and say, now what show was that? Adam's Family. I'm too young. I don't
know. Oh, no, I love the Adam's Family.
<Be-be-do-do>.
I know.
Actually, I like
it.
And I was reading the biography of Theodore Cassidy. It turns out that that it was him, his hand.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So who was the one with all the hair? Who was the little, you know, the little short guy?
That's right. That it had the hair.
Okay.
It was the thing with the hair.
Was it Thing? Was
Thing,
the hand?
Thing, right. He was also Thing.
Yeah.
These are things that our audience needs to know.
I know. This is cultural literacy.
Now you know who Lurch and It and the Thing. And my favorite was Fester anyway.
Oh, yeah, he's good, yeah. Christopher Lloyd was a good Fester in the movie.
Did you
see the movie?
Yeah, excellent. So much for our Adam's Family moment.
That's right.
What's happening, yo?
Let's see. Last night was another meeting night in the Hudson City School District.
Oh, Lordy.
I went, it was actually two meetings back to back. I went to audit at 6:00. And then they had their goal setting meeting at 7:00, that went from 7:00 until 9:00. It was a very small group. It was basically the board, without their president Peter Moranti, who did not attend the goal setting meeting, which was an odd thing. Perhaps he's on vacation. I don't know. But myself and Mr. Shannon from the Register Star. That was it in the junior high school library.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And they did, you can read the story in the Register Star for the some of the particulars, although there were some of the details that were a little off in that story. The whole impetus behind this session, this is an annual thing. Part of the conversation last night, it was about revisiting their vision statement, which is really pedantic and really kind of at the same time really vague, open-ended kind of verbiage. I think that is forthcoming. That plan is down the road. Long story short, it took them until 8:45 to come up with one goal, and that was to to raise the graduation rate. And there was a huge debate about what was a realistic expectation. The whole idea being here, you know, they're the board and they're supposed to set these higher goals for the administrators to use to create and implement a plan to get there. The district is way, way low in its graduation rate. Depending on what subgroup you're in the 60% graduation rate. And they want to raise it to 80, 85. In there over 3 years. And the whole conversation was interesting for me from the perspective of looking at leadership and how does leadership work, setting goals for an organization or for an institution like the school, big picture stuff. And what I saw was really kind of sad in a way, because I think there are people who've been elected who don't really understand the power of their position and the idea that you can say raise expectations, but what does that really mean?
Yeah. And how do you do it?
That's exactly right. And of course, that's why you hire a superintendent and administrators. They're the professionals. You tell them what you want them to do, essentially, very plainly said. You tell them what you want them to do, and then they, drawing on their experience and their training, they come back and tell you how you can get there from here. But there is there's a lack of dialogue there. I think there are people who really are very tied up in the way things are done here, and they don't understand the big picture. And it was a painful discussion to listen to, and also the fact that it took him an hour and 45 minutes to say raise the graduation rate.
I for some reason, I would think that that would be one of the goals. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
Yeah, and I don't know why it's so hard to say raise the graduation rate, and then you task your people to do it. Of course, then the question becomes, what are the consequences when your people don't do it?
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Maybe they fall short. But that seemed to take up a lot of the mental energy, thinking what if, and that would just be my one observation in throughout the whole conversation, was that there was nobody there who believed that it could happen. They're saying, well, we can say this, but, and there are all of these buts, but this, but that. And, you know, at this point, the district is really in a tough spot.
Is the student body really that lacking that they're afraid that they may not be able to raise the graduation rate?
You mean, do they not have the potential?
Yeah.
I think there are kids with tremendous potential here. I think that there are kids who do struggle, but I think a lot of the reason that they struggle is because they're sort of left on their own. You know, the district tends, you can see it in sports, they tend to meet the kid, they take the kid where they are, and then that's where they leave them. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but there's no aspiration for pushing kids forward. That's basically what James Butterworth said in his report on M.C. Smith, that was at the heart of the issue. The school culture does not support achievement. And as easy as it seems to say, it's hard to say, how do you change that? And it always comes back to that same thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like I'm feeling so pessimistic.
Well, I don't know. It's a new superintendent. I think that that's always a great, and it's no knock on the former superintendent, but I think any time personnel changes, you have this moment where you think, you know, you can regroup and start anew.
Yeah, new broom sweeps clean.
Right. And today the administrators are meeting with the superintendent in their first real meeting of the school year. This is when they kind of put their heads together and come up with a plan for moving forward. And that all has great potential, and it's good stuff. So I'm just, I hope that the board can rise to the challenge that's in front of them.
Yeah, for the kids' sake, I certainly hope so.
Well, yeah, and for the community as a whole.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the center of our community, and we really need to succeed. We can't sustain an independent, sustainable economy without a healthy school. And good citizens who will grow up and go out and vote.
Yeah, you know, it's so true. As I was telling you, when I went to the Columbia County Volunteer Firemen's Parade.
Right.
One of the things that I noticed right away was that the gentlemen and the ladies were all in their late 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And the future of your community, the future of our community, they're in those schools.
That's right.
And so it's we can't just cop out and say it's not our problem.
Well, that's, yeah,
because
that's it.
Because it is our problem. My children are grown and they don't even live in New York State, but it's still my problem.
Yeah.
Because the future of our community is in Hudson High School right now.
That's right. And the trick is to educate them to whatever level they wish to be educated, you know, whether it be high school or beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And then give them a reason to stay here.
That's correct. Make them mindful of their community. So,
right.
And Hudson is growing. It's looking so good.
That's right.
So, I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of exciting.
Right.
There are a lot of exciting things happening here. There's also an increase in the 20s and 30s population around here. Say even over the past 2 to 3 years, that has changed. And so there's a beginning there, and it'd be nice to see these young people want to make their lives here and to be able to do it to the best of their ability.
Well, I hope so.
In audit, I won't go into any of the details, but one of the things that came out of that, I know everybody kind of says, audit, why would you go to an audit meeting? But actually, this was pretty good because this was all about their internal controls, and apparently there are some issues there that will be discussed more in the coming weeks. So, things like people checking other people's work, you know, the check and balance system within mm-hmm. the financial structure. And a lot of it was attributed to the death of Danny Barrett, who was the longtime business manager for the district. He passed away a year ago. Well, not quite a year ago. But that was a huge loss, and not only on a personal level, because he was a nice guy, but professionally. He was a large part of the institutional memory. So, but they're working on those issues. So that's a story that will continue, I'm sure.
But nothing flaky, nothing flaky in the audit, just, you know.
Well, there are things like they hired a claims auditor, but then they didn't have anyone doing the work for like 6 weeks. So there were some questions amongst the board members on the committee about who they had hired to do for what, do what, and there's a contract for auditing the Medicaid claims, and then there are all the other claims, the general claims that go through the district, and they weren't. So there was, seemed to be some confusion about who was doing what task and at what time.
So August starts tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
And I guess, is this the time that all of the school districts in our areas start to gear up
for
the start of the, in September, I guess? When do they go? They go back early September, correct?
Yeah, around Labor Day. Most are in Columbia County, if not all. I think they all start the week after, either the Tuesday or the Wednesday after Labor Day. I know in Hudson, it's always the Wednesday after Labor Day.
So am I to assume that we're going to be starting to hear news from the various districts as they start to gear up?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think everything has been, July is generally a very quiet month, mm-hmm. Except for the, sort of the organizational things that happen at the beginning of the month. But then when you get into August, that's when people start coming back to prepare for the year. The administrators come back, teachers are in preparing their rooms. They're getting their class lists, working out the schedules, all that kind of nitty-gritty stuff.
And that's when these budgets that were on paper actually go into effect.
Right.
So you're bound to hear some news.
Well, yeah, either restoration or whatever it might be. Yeah.
Right. That is usually what happens when the budget's on paper. It's one thing. But when it has to be actually applied to day-to-day,
right.
You usually see some changes.
Right. And speaking of the budget, the State Senate at the end of its session in June actually gave out a little bit of extra money.
Yay!
Yeah, and Hudson, in Columbia County, Hudson, Chatham, and Kinderhook got some extra bucks. Hudson got $38,000, Chatham $36,000, and Kinderhook $16,000. So it's not a huge sum of money, but it's enough. Like in Hudson's case, the $38,000, that's more than what they need to bring back modified sports.
All right.
We'll see what happens with that.
That's a happy thing.
Yeah. That's a very good thing. And
more money is always a happy thing.
And what else is there? Oh, there's a story on our news blog today. It was actually an excerpt from a Times story concerning new practice for teacher certification in New York, as well as other states around the country.
Yes.
And the proposal calls for eliminating two of the three exams that teachers now sit for to receive their certification, and replacing it with actual in-class, actual applied work in the classroom. Not quite an internship or residency sort of model, but there's more of that hands-on in the classroom aspect to qualifying for their license, which is a very good thing, in my opinion. Rather than sitting at the table and taking an exam to determine whether you should be a teacher, you actually have to stand up in a classroom and demonstrate that and skill.
Yes, we were talking about that off mic. Standing up in front of all those, and what is the sizes of the classrooms now?
Well, like in Hudson, anywhere between, well, the small classrooms, the younger kids are in the low 20s, mm-hmm. 20, somewhere around there. Some of the high school classes, I think there are a couple that are close to 30, but this is unusual here.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in the city, you're talking about large classes, over 30 kids.
Whew.
Yeah. Nice. It's scary.
It would scare me to death.
No, it takes a special person to teach. Truly.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful, wonderful profession.
I've had my two lovely little grandsons with me. This is their fourth and final week. And I'm thinking about teachers, and I'm looking at these two characters, and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's right.
They drive me nuts. So, and I'm trying to picture a teacher with the 40? And yeah. You don't.
Well, you have to like it.
Yeah, you gotta like it.
And you know, it is that special energy that you get in a school that is more exciting than anything else in the world.
Yeah, I can imagine if it's what you do and it's what you want to do, it's got to be a real driving force.
Yeah. So, but that's
more
all
power
good
to
stuff.
Them.
That's right. And I think that's it.
Okay, that's a wrap on the school board information as we get closer and closer to the beginning of school. Of course, we'll be having more information, and as usual, our usual plea, if you know something that we're not talking about that you would like us to look into, you know where we are, right here at WGXC, mm-hmm. and they can contact us by...
Well, you can call 518-828-0290 or send us an email. My email address is Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at WGXC.org or news@WGXC.org.
That's right. Get involved. This is community radio, and this is what it's all about.